This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Didn't mean to step on your intro. Your mic's not on. Nah, turn every mic's on. Anyway.
Put some respect on that man's name. Well done, Beltway.
Hall of Famer Jacob Calvin Meyer joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest
Hotline. He knows how to hit the cutoff guy, and he knows what base to throw to.
And you know how to step on me throwing the sponsor.
Well, what was the sponsor again?
Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline.
I love Window Nation. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They know how to throw to the right base,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they do. Jacob, good afternoon. Thank you, as always, for joining us. I guess we'll start broad and then and get more go from micro to macro or macro to micro. But this team through 10 games, your thoughts?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on, as always. This is going to be a fun one. I have a naked child that I'm changing her.
Nice.
Right,
nice.
So let's see how this goes. Just a massive poop, man. They get older and the poops get harder, and it's just, it's really something. Speaking of poop, the Orioles.
Yes.
Listen, 10 games through, it's a small sample. There's been some high highs and some low lows. I think I've been surprised by how sloppy they've looked at times. The conditions in Kansas City didn't help, but also the Royals didn't seem to be too concerned with the conditions. The rotation's margin for error is really small, and so when the outfielders don't catch fly balls or they don't hit cutoff men, things can really spiral out of control. The bullpen lacks a ton of flexibility, which is going to be a problem down the line. It hasn't really been so far. And the lineup is really still boom or bust. So through 10 games, not looking too great, but it is a small sample.
There's obviously things that can be quantified and things that can be algorithm to death, right? And then there's things that old school scouts will tell you from having eyes on a player, you know, who you're thinking of acquiring for a long period of time. Like, they might tell you, he's so jacked up he can't move laterally anymore. Like, they might tell you, boy, he doesn't really get a break on the ball. And, you know, like, if you even thought about playing him in center field, you're crazy because he's not even a corner outfielder. He's a DH. Like, he doesn't always throw to the right base. He doesn't really hit the cutoff man. Oh, and when you need him to slide to get a run, he doesn't do that either. Like, it seems to me some of their fundamental failings, and this stuff's been going on since the middle of last year, might come from the way they build their team, right? Like, maybe that's part of the reason their trade deadline acquisitions don't hit that, like, don't click that much, because they're willing to take a risk on Eloy Jimenez, who's DHing at Durham right now. In AAA. Like, am I crazy? Or are we far enough into this now where you can look at how they build things and say there's things they care about and things they think they can get by on, and the eye test stuff, the bird dog stuff, keeps biting them in the ass?
Yeah. My typical response to that question when you say, am I crazy, is...
Yes.
Yes, but maybe not in this instance. You're addressing Tyler O'Neill here, right?
Mm-hmm. Amongst others. I mean, Laureano's not good defensively anymore either. I mean, I could have told you that, but...
Yeah, him moving laterally isn't great. He still has a cannon, which is helpful, but listen, Tyler O'Neill is no longer a premier defender like he was several years ago, and if you look at the money that they paid him, they're not paying him to be a premier defender. You know what really stood out to me this week was how much this team misses Colton Gausser in the outfield, because this is a bad outfield when he's not out there. Cedric Mullins is a good but not great center fielder.
Yes.
Tyler O'Neill right now is
a DH.
Probably a below average outfielder. It's tough to judge the Kansas City series too much because the first day especially, he had a really bad day in right field. Those are also the worst conditions that any outfielder is going to play in all season. And then Heston Kerstedt doesn't catch a ball that just obviously needs to be caught, but, you know, I don't exactly know what happened there. We never really got the chance to talk to him on that fly ball. But is there something to the fact that I think the margin for error for this team is smaller, and that's when the little things get heightened and they haven't done the little things well this year? I think there is some truth to that. But does that mean that they can't start doing the little things better? I don't think that that's the case.
Jacob, there was a lot of talk yesterday about the lineup and how the Orioles went very righty-heavy against Chris Bubich, who has reverse splits. But also, Jackson Holliday was swinging a hot bat. Heston Kerstad had hits in back-to-back games. And Cedric Mullins, their hottest hitter, not being in the lineup. Were there any questions from you about the lineup construction?
Wait, there was a lot of talk yesterday about the lineup?
Yeah. Yeah.
Reverse splits, lefty, don't care about that. Yeah.
Jacob, there was nothing on Twitter about this.
Yeah, nothing at all. Guys, actually, I'm really happy you still had me on today after I was called a North Korean propagandist all day yesterday.
Who said that?
People on Twitter were very angry about with the
at you?
Right. We don't have to get into it. It's not about me. The lineup. So I think everybody's eyebrows were raised when they saw the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
What Brandon Hyde said after the game is fair to a degree, right? They did go out and acquire these right-handed bats. These guys do need to hit against lefties when they're in the lineup. I just think most people would agree that they went one step too far with the righty-heavy lineup. And the weak link yesterday was having Jorge Mateo in center field, okay? I understand that that's the benefit of hindsight, but I think a lot of people looked at this and said, man, there's a way around not having Jorge Mateo in center field today, so maybe you don't have to do it, especially when you're playing in a massive outfield. The dude has played like four games in center field in the past 3 or 4 years, and the wind is swirling like crazy, and you've already had a terrible outfield series. So to put him out there was definitely, definitely surprising, and there was an easy way around it, okay? You could have just put Ramon Laureano in center, which would not have been fantastic either, but he certainly catches that fly ball. And then you start Heston Kerstad in left field, who had a left hit the day before against a lefty who has reverse splits. And Hyde mentioned that lefty reliever on Saturday had reverse splits. And if you really need to get Jorge Mateo in the lineup for whatever reason, you can put him at second base and you can DH Jordan Westberg, who you've already had to give a day off to because you said he's super banged up and we're only a couple games into the season. The part of the discourse yesterday, which was frankly insane, is that it is a crime against humanity that they gave Cedric Mullins a day off. Cedric Mullins, even in 2021, when he had a 30-30 season, he didn't play every single game. They gave him about 15 or 16 days off from playing center field that season. Last year, he was a platoon player who never played against lefties. And the year before that, he had two lower body injuries that derailed his season. And so far this season, he's played four games on turf, traveled twice, and then played in terrible conditions in back-to-back days, and they have three righties coming up. So the notion that sitting Cedric Mullins is like the craziest decision in the world was what I didn't understand about the discourse yesterday.
Talking with Jacob Calvin-Meyer, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Let's talk about something positive. What did you think of Sagano on Saturday, and is this something you feel confident he can replicate?
Yeah, it wasn't surprising to me or most people who saw him in spring. Can he replicate that? Absolutely. Do I think that there's like massive upside with him? I don't. Yeah. And that's okay. This rotation probably needs some upside, but you're not going to get it from a 35-year-old that you signed, from Japan for $13 million. But this rotation, as it's currently constructed, in the first half of the season especially, they just need their starters to go 5 or 6 innings and survive so that they can save the bullpen and keep the offense in games. If this rotation goes out on a consistent basis and goes 5 and change and gives up 3 runs, they'll rank in the bottom 10 in the majors in ERA, but this team should still win a ton of games. I don't know if this rotation is going to do that, but if they do that and they still don't win games, it's not going to be because of the rotation. It's going to be because of other factors on this team. And then that's just really the beginning of the season. I think the second half, when Grayson gets going, when Bradish comes back, that's when you maybe see some more upside with the rotation. But in the first half of the season, I just think they need to get by. And Sagano is somebody who I think can be a consistent guy for them in the rotation.
Shocker. I want to go back to the misery for a second and the lineup, because I want to get you your take on this and get you on the record here, because when people, I guess, weren't attacking you, and they were probably attacking me, but I don't look at my mentions. They were attacking Hyder. So I just want to get your take on this, because like, I think if you're attacking Brandon Hyde and you think that this isn't a complete Mike Elias production, we're not watching the same thing. Like, I don't think Brandon Hyde decides to take their 1-1 bonus baby and sit him on the bench while he's hitting really well, and Hyde's fighting him on it. Like, I don't think he decides to sit Cedric Mullins and Hyde's not, and Elias isn't 1,000% on board with it. Like, I don't think he's got Mateo in center field and not Laureano, who they just gave a lot of money to, unless Elias is entirely on board with it. Like, what says you?
Yeah, listen, there's no way to criticize Brandon Hyde without also criticizing Mike Elias and just the organization as a whole. This is not, you know, Billy Martin in the,
right,
you know, the 70s. Like, this isn't just Brandon Hyde 3 hours before the game sitting in his office with a pen and a napkin, right, saying, huh, I wonder what I'm going to do today.
Yeah.
That Sunday lineup was set on probably on Thursday, maybe even earlier, okay? And that's what it kind of felt like to me.
Yeah.
Listen, and this is every team. This isn't a bad thing. Every team goes into a series and says, hey, this is what we think the series is going to play out to be. And you do need to remain nimble. But in my head, I'm like, man, you should have probably watched the first two games where the wind is doing some crazy stuff. I mean, there were like 12 home runs hitting that series, guys, and almost none of them went out of the ballpark. The wind was crazy. The conditions were bad. It was freezing the first two games. And I think they just maybe didn't. I don't know. Maybe they didn't realize, hey, maybe we shouldn't put a guy who's not really a center fielder out there when we've had a terrible outfield series. But this is a combination of – does Brandon Hyde – listen, we don't know exactly how they make their lineups. But does Brandon Hyde have a say? Is he in the room? Of course he is.
Sure.
But is he the last – is he the majority opinion in that room? Probably not. And that's the way it is almost everywhere. And so this notion that it's like that like Brandon Hyde's goal every Sunday is just to ruin Orioles fans' day is just not the case. And that doesn't mean fans don't deserve to have criticisms. And I've had my own criticisms of that lineup yesterday, and I think Kershaw should have been in there. But it's not just a Brandon Hyde thing.
Well, and they pushed his buddy, Freddie Gonzalez, out and replaced him with a guy who's never been a bench coach before. So, I mean, I think that kind of tells you who's in charge, you know?
Yeah, but they also replaced him with one of his buddies.
Yeah. One guy's got major league managing experience and told us he was politicking for Tommy Pham all year.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's Robinson Chirinos.
Yeah. Well,
Jacob. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, we're 10 games in, guys, and it's going to be a long year.
How'd the diaper change go?
Yeah.
She's, I put on the better parent, Miss Rachel, on YouTube so that she wouldn't scream at me while I was on the phone. The diaper change went well. I would probably rate my performance as a C+. I might have forgotten the Depakote, so we're going to have to go back and.
Get some of that. Yeah.
But listen, it's early in the season. It's early in the season for me too.
You'd ask Jorge Mateo for help, but he might drop the baby.
You've got to have the full analytics on that diaper change.
Jacob, you're the best.
How many diapers can you change per hour blindfolded? I think we need the analytics on that.
Jason, we got to go. Jacob, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
Yeah, we're going to continue to dive into the lineup yesterday, and it was not an isolated thing. We see this a lot when the Orioles go up against left-handed pitching. We'll get into it next on The Fan.